Welcome back to the Ryer on YouTube channel. It is time once again for No Sleep Teal. As you know by now, it is a show dedicated to discussion involving the NFL's Jacksonville Jaguars. Travis Ryer alongside my co-host Evan Ryer. Evan, it is a fantastic Friday down in Duval. It feels very spring-like outside. You can probably see behind me here. I am once again at Party Girl Avondale. The aromas in here are second to none. I can promise you that. We got a chocolate cake going right now. We've got chicken salad. We've got to-go dinners ready for you right here at Party Girl Avondale. It is perfect day down here, my man.
That sounds nice. It's starting to warm up a little bit up here too. We were hitting the 70s the past couple of days, so still getting pretty cold at night, but yeah, it feels like spring has sprung a little bit. I'm not complaining. We've had a pretty cold winter, so it's just a sign that summer's on the way, and I'm definitely not opposed to it.
Yeah, there ain't no ham like Birmingham, except those couple of 3 weeks. It seems like every winter up there where you get a real reminder that it is the South, but you can have some Northeast-like winter conditions. But I kind of like that about Tuscaloosa and Birmingham. You get the four seasons. There's no doubt about it. Biggest concern is kind of like Duval. You get that violent weather from time to time.
Yeah, no, that's the only thing about the the seasons changing is that it just means you're entering tornado season, which we have experience with. Yeah. We know what that's all about. We'll cross that bridge when we get there. We'll shelter when we need to. But for now, just enjoying the weather. Although I guess it's still pretty cold in Indianapolis right now.
Yes, we have a relative up there for the combine, and we've been able to confirm via that relative. It's chilly. It's been a little chilly in Indianapolis, but things have been heating up at the NFL combine. It's been an interesting week. It's gotten to the point, though, Ev, where no one works out, or at least no one that you want to see work out.
Yeah,
works out. The quarterbacks aren't really working out this week. Anybody that seems to have a top 10, top 15 grade in general isn't doing a whole lot. The 40 is always a lot of fun, but essentially what it's really become is more of an extended meet and greet. You might get some of this at the Senior Bowl prior to the combine, but the formal interview process along with the formal medical process is really what the combine is about.
Yeah, no, it's like you said, extended interview more than it is anything else at this point, because really, while combine numbers are critical and they can definitely shift draft stock and all that different kind of thing, really, we know what we're getting, or, these NFL teams know what they're going to get. And, not every person's going to nail the combine. That doesn't, it shouldn't be the make or break. But there are some guys like, the DEs we've already started seeing get out there. There are some guys that have already been, do their performance kind of shifting up in terms of like their connection to the Jaguars or other teams. Shamar Stewart kind of took over.
Wow.
Like best combine performances we've seen from a DE in some time. And a guy that, could be a link for the Jaguars. I mean, that could be a spot they go to.
James Pierce of Tennessee. Blazed in the 40, the edge. You kind of anticipated that. It's interesting with Stewart and Pierce and some of these guys, though, because where a new GM like James Gladstone of the Jacksonville Jaguars, all at 34 years old, by the way, Ev, I got to say, in your experience in the hospitality industry, talking about Gladstone here, you got a card. If James Gladstone walked into your restaurant tonight, you got to card him, don't you?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, the dude is 5 years older than me.
It looks 10 years younger than,
I know. He really, whatever his skincare routine is or whatever he's doing. I mean, my man is looking spry, looking young, which, at the end of the day, I don't mind that. I mean, really, yeah. I can't think of, a point in the Jaguars history at all in which GM, head coach, kind of the whole kind of spearhead of the organization is this young. I think it's a fresh approach, and I definitely don't mind it.
Yeah, he is, by all accounts, a very sharp individual. What's been encouraging to me is to hear that from a leadership perspective, sort of his presence, even with his very youthful look, speaks volumes, from what I understand. So you like to hear that because you don't truly know that part of it until that person is put into that role. You Absolutely. Can appreciate the background, and certainly this is looking like the Rams way right now with the Jags here, based on the coaching staff and then Gladstone coming in as well. But again, he seems to have that ability to sort of command a presence, command an audience, and very steadfast in how he plans about going about this thing. I understand Tony Boselli is now in that hierarchy of the power structure. You know that's going to be the case. Liam Cohen having input into things, and that commonality with Gladstone should be beneficial where that pairing is concerned. But the sense I get when it comes right down to it, it's going to be Gladstone's ball game when it comes to making calls on the draft and free agency, which we really haven't probably previewed or talked about enough, which is a big part in all this too.
Yeah. You know, I mean, that's the thing is, you know, we've talked in the past about, you know, the Jaguars as a potential destination for players and for teams. And sure, there are certain things like nice weather and, you know, lack of state income tax and all that stuff. But the Jaguars famously have been criticized for their kind of like lack of appeal to, you know, like especially in free agency, trying to convince guys to come there. You know, historically, we've seen the Jaguars overpay just to get guys there. If you've got a GM, especially a young one that can really identify with new potential players, you know, guys that he can connect with because maybe in a similar age group or whatever it can be, that's a huge deal. I mean, the Jacksonville needs, I would say, every tool in their arsenal in terms of creating a better group of personnel. And Gladstone seems to be able to do that. And, you know, I mean, we're starting to see – you know, we haven't previewed free agency enough for potential trades, and we're starting to get an idea of guys that might be out there that could fit the Jags. You think about maybe an Andre Sisco replacement in free agency. Marcus Williams is apparently hitting the open market. If you're looking for a proven veteran, I mean, dude has had a very solid career so far, and you know, is you know, knows how to compete at the top level after his time with the Ravens. And then you know, there's also been, you know, all the Deebo Samuel chatter, although the Jaguars do not seem to be interested in that at all. Interestingly enough, the Commanders and Texans appear to be the teams actually pursuing Deebo, which
really, yeah, the Texans really need another receiver.
Yeah,
right?
I'm very curious about that. I'm also like, I mean, it's also just another testament to the fact that the Texans have nailed their drafts recently. They have the money to even spend on a guy like Deebo because Deebo ain't going to be cheap. I mean, that's a big risk for any team that gets him because he's not going to be cheap.
I love him, but how much is really left in the tank?
Exactly. Like that.
He's more football player to me than he is pure receiver. If it's me, yeah. And I love Deebo Samuel, I love the way he plays the game, would love to have him on my team. But when I think about what the Jags need to go along with Brian Thomas Jr., I want more of a true high-level number two, borderline number one, if I can get it. Now, I understand that could be difficult. You know, and still got to figure out how Christian Kirk, does he play in it? All of this potentially, Evan Ingram, even though he's a tight end, how do you slot him in terms of priority with your receiving core? There's a lot to figure out, right?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I do think about it in retrospect where, you know, when the Jaguars were being linked to T. Higgins last year, that would have been T. Higgins and BTJ, I think would have been like the perfect duo. And instead, Gabe Davis kind of flopped. That it is what it is, and you can't change the past, I guess. But, yeah, somebody like that, somebody that really does provide, you know, both a kind of sure-handed possession reliability in that regard, but then also can make plays downfield, that would be really nice. But, you know, I mean, they've got guys in the draft that they can potentially go for. They met with McMillan this week, apparently, and he claimed that BTJ is a top five NFL receiver right now. which, you know, high praise from the 2025 draftees. So
what about Cooper Kupp?
Oh, God.
Think about him in this. Yeah, I would love Cooper Kupp.
I mean, I think Cooper Kupp especially showed that he's still got plenty in the tank this past year, you know, especially after kind of a quiet, you know, due to injury and all the other stuff, kind of changing vibes, you know, the rise of Puka Nacua. When Cooper Kupp got going in the back half of this past season, I mean, he still looked the part. That would be a really, really nice option because, I mean, just, you know, when a guy can run routes as well as he can, that, you know, as you lose speed, as you lose a little bit of a step, doesn't matter. Dude's still going to be able to get open a lot of the time.
You know who likes Cooper Kupp to the Jags? Mojo, baby. Maurice Jones-Drew on NFL.com here recently. Champion, potentially, Kupp joining Brian Thomas Jr. Some of the other teams mentioned in that piece by NFL.com, you mentioned a couple of them. The Commanders, the Texans, the Ravens, the Bengals, and I guess the common denominator with those teams, including the Bills in this as well, is that these are playoff teams or perceived to be high-level, legitimate Super Bowl contenders. That might be the biggest uphill battle the Jags would have in a race like that if, in fact, they were interested in Kupp, is that, no, we really are ready to win. Don't think about last year. That's not us. Yeah. You know, we're kind of – and I want to talk to you about this too. We're kind of in a place where we could be, to an even higher degree, the Commanders from 2024, and that we could get this thing righted quickly.
Yeah, I mean, that's the appeal, right? Like the sell, I guess, to prospective players is that, yeah, this didn't go as well as planned, but this roster is better than it looks. Trevor Lawrence is, you know, Trevor Lawrence. You know, we're really, you know, we believe in his ability to bounce back and to be the leader of this team. You're selling, you know, a lot of it's not concrete. Let's just say that it's a lot of, this is what could happen, you know, which, you know, I mean,
I think
part of the selling point to players, whether it would be a Cooper Kupp situation, like a wide receiver or Marcus Williams at safety or what have you, would be, how much playing time do you really like? What, how big of a role do you want? Because if, you know, you're Cooper Kupp and you go to the Texans, I don't think Cooper Kupp is the kind of guy that would be too concerned about having too many guys in front of him or anything like that. I think he, you know, trusts in his abilities and stuff like that. But, you know, if you go to the Texans, you're going to be one of several high profile targets there. Commanders, on the other hand, not so much. I mean, Terry, you know, Scary Terry, of course, and they've got some good receivers in that group, but Cooper Kupp would probably easily slot in as the number two. And same thing as he would in Jacksonville. I mean, there'd be no question that, if Cooper Kupp did end up in Duval County, that he would immediately be the second top target behind BTJ.
Work that Liam Cohen, James Gladstone connection.
Absolutely.
Right? With the Rams, pull out all the stops. I guess a couple things, and that's where you have a real benefit. I would think Gladstone would know as well as anyone, or have a feel for anyway, exactly where he thinks Kupp is at in terms of the big picture. And that being said, you know, what does Kupp think in terms of, again, viability at this point in his career where winning a championship is concerned? So, Ev, as we kind of work through this combine week up in Indianapolis, we talked about potential draft scenarios on the show last week. Anything this week that's kind of changed your thought process on that, or you still more in the informational gathering stage?
I mean, things are still so speculative, and it's we really, I mean, especially considering how new this front office is, you know, I mean, things could be changing to the very last second. But one of the big things that we've seen this week is Travis Hunter being linked to the Jags. Bucky Brooks has him being drafted by the Jaguars at the 5 spot, which is a really interesting situation, just because a lot of people thought, you know, for a long time that Travis Hunter probably wasn't going to make it to the 5 spot. If he gets there, what do you do if you're the Jaguars? You know, there might be other positions of need, you know, stuff that you'd say, well, we probably need to go get, you know, whether it's DL or OL, we probably, you know, Mason Graham, right? We probably need to go that route instead. But Travis Hunter is there. I mean, this is a Heisman winner. This is, you know, a, you know, generational prospect in many ways. You know, do you go with him and where do you play him? Obviously, if you do go with him, it's very exciting. I mean, I love the idea of having Travis Hunter in Jacksonville just as like a pure entertainment situation. And all signs point to him being like, you know, a good kid, a dude who's locked in and ready to take that next step. That's really kind of what's been catching my eye the most. How do you feel about that?
Yeah, I think that intangibly, your ears perk up a little more now, maybe with Gladstone, because we've heard repetitively since he took the job in Jacksonville that more so than maybe in previous years, it's not just going to be a lot about just measurables, right? Yeah. Athletically and those type of things. Intangibly, they're going to be big on fit, how guys fit in the building, the culture they're trying to establish now with this new regime. And I think systematically he'd be a good fit at corner for where they look to be headed on the defensive side of the ball. And I'm kind of like Bucky. I just don't know if he does drop to you at five and you're sitting there. I don't know how you don't take the guy. I mean, he's just that kind of talent. You know, the dynamic of how intent is he on being sort of a three-phase guy, whether it's offense, defense, and special teams with returns, that's a good problem to have. Yeah. But I think the Jags, like a lot of teams, primarily look at him as a corner first. But I don't think there's any doubt he could help on the offensive side of the ball if you gave him a chance.
No, I mean, that's the thing is like, you know, obviously in, you know, high leverage situations, like in close games and important games and stuff, you know, putting the ball in the hands of a guy who's not predominantly an offensive player, you know, could seem like risky, but there's no reason why, especially in the first half of the season, you can't experiment a little bit and at least see what happens. And who knows? I mean, if he gets out there and he's getting open, he's making plays and stuff, it's like, all right, ride it, you know, like, why not? But you know, it just becomes a question of what does the rest of that personnel group look like? You know, if the Jaguars end up being kind of thin in terms of quality at wide receiver and they have Travis Hunter, it's like, yeah, you might as well give them some reps. But let's say they go actually try to make a high profile move in free agency for a receiver, you know, then you start saying, okay, well, we're paying these other guys, you know, like, you know, we can't just kind of be, you know, moving around the depth chart just to get this guy, you know, a couple chances here and there. But I mean, I could definitely see a scenario where, you know, we talked about Deebo Samuel, you know, where Travis Hunter's kind of just a gadget, a player on offense that, you know, maybe he's only playing 30% of the snaps, 40% of the snaps, but you just add another dimension to that offense, which was a problem we had last year, despite having a lot of different types of receivers and, you know, kind of weapons in that offense. The Jaguars didn't seem like they had much, you know, of a multi-dimensional aspect to the offense. That's something they need, whether, you know, with new staff, all that different stuff. So I'd love to see it. I mean, I really would. I think it'd be really exciting. I mean, there's probably not a more, you know, get excited type of pick than Travis Hunter.
Yeah, I think that, you know, it's still a spot at five where I could easily envision the Jags trading back, but the Jags already have a good bit of draft capital.
Yeah,
you know, it's not like they need more picks, so it would have to be a very attractive sort of offering, I would think, to go back at from five, even if it does mean maybe you pick up a second or something like that. Does all this talk, though, about Travis Hunter, does it concern you about maybe not maintaining engagement with where most of us feel like the primary issues have been, and that's the lines of scrimmage? I mean, the earlier the better for me that you start to really address those situations. I don't think the defensive front, if it stays together as it is now, is maybe as much of a concern. But if you got a Mason Graham sitting there, you've got, let's say, a Kenneth Grant just goes on the ascent. Maybe you don't go with him at five, but offensive line we talked about. Do you worry about maybe, because we've seen it in the past, maybe the Jags have struggled to maintain focus where where big issues literally exist for this program, this organization.
Well, that's the one thing that Gladstone and Cohen, you know, because you never want to say like, hey, we're not going to be good this year, right? Yeah. Like, but this is probably a 2 to 3 year job in terms of actually getting this roster to Super Bowl caliber. If everything goes according to plan, now things can obviously work out faster depending on how you know, especially if you can elevate the quarterback position. Go look at the Commanders. Obviously, we've already been talking about them a little bit, but it is a little bit concerning because, yeah, I mean, they just have several different areas they have to address, and you just have to start asking which one matters the most. I mean, DL is critical, but simultaneously, so is the secondary. I mean, really, that was the thing last year, was that both areas were trouble for the Jaguars. I mean, they weren't consistent as a pass rushing unit, and they weren't consistent as a coverage unit. So, you know, you start, you know, having to figure out what is the identity really focused on? What do we want to do? Are we going to look for coverage sacks? Are we going to look for, you know, a more aggressive kind of approach on the DL? I would be stoked to have Mason Graham. I really do think he's going to translate immediately. I think in terms of guys that can just slot in week one and be a contributor, Mason Graham is probably as good as a bet as they have. But simultaneously, you know, we've kind of thought that before about different guys, and it took longer to develop. So it's a gamble no matter where you go. And hindsight's 2020. We really won't know until we're looking back.
Yeah, and kind of connecting those dots again with Gladstone. He's seen it very recently with Fisk and Verse, the two guys from Florida State that the Rams took a year ago that slotted in very nicely. It's amazing how much we didn't really talk about Aaron Donald not being around in 2024 when we talked about that Rams defense, because I think we all figured that once that defense got into the post-Donald era, that would be a major, major void. But, man, they hit home runs, it looks like, with both those guys.
I mean, that's what I was saying in the last episode, is Gladstone's, like, ability to hit on draft picks is really, really impressive. Now, part of it is because they, like, consistently the Rams were looking for draft capital. So that's where it's interesting. We talked about, well, the Jaguars are already in a good spot. You know, in terms of draft capital, I mean, the Rams were just collecting picks there for like three or four years.
He likes it. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, we could see a situation where he's like, yeah, you know what? At five, you know, I think we might be able to get Mason Graham at like 8 or 9 or 10 or something or like
Kenneth
that.
Kenneth Grant a little later if you need
to. Yeah. Just might as well.
Tyler Booker could be there later, right? If you want to go guard interior.
That will tell us a ton. That will tell us a ton. If they do decide to trade back, I think that will signal in a big way that they really think that, okay, this roster, we're going to need to add a lot. Like, we need to really open up competition for spots. We need young blood, new blood in the organization. And then if they feel really, really strongly about a guy, then, you know, it doesn't necessarily mean that they don't want to still – you know, kind of, you know, revamp the roster long-term, but it gives you a bit more of an idea of like, okay, well, at the very least, they feel like this guy is absolutely worth it at the top, at the five spot.
It also could tell you about this draft class in general too, right? Because it doesn't feel like there's the star power from a year ago. A year ago where the Jags were slotted to pick, you were like, yeah, it's just not going to be that kind of guy maybe in the mid-teens. And then they trade down, and they still get Brian Thomas Jr. So things can change quickly as far as narratives are concerned, as we know. But that could be a viewpoint too for Gladstone and the personnel department, is that, and again, still got to figure out what's going to happen before we even get to the draft and how that can shape things, like we saw with Brian Thomas Jr.'s pick in the first round last year due to the Calvin Ridley situation. You could see a number of things. And I kind of go back to Travis Hunter. If he does somehow fall to five, boy, and I'm still sitting there at five, that's still going to be a tough one to kind of turn away from, I would think.
Well, and that's where it's interesting too, is that, you know, of all the guys that could fall to five that could be selected beforehand, he might be the most valuable in terms of trading back. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
If Travis Hunter is there at five and
somebody want to come get him,
a team that's, you know, a mid round draft, you know, mid first round pick, is like, well, we thought he was going to be gone by five. Yeah. We can actually probably afford to get up to that spot. Yeah. You know, that could be really beneficial for the Jaguars if they are leaning towards trading back. Honestly, same thing with
if you're the Jags in that scenario, do you kind of look at that differently though with Travis Hunter because it is him and you're sitting there at five and you got teams interested? It's it's five, it's not one, but it's five with Travis Hunter,
right?
They could add a little.
You're having your first, you know, your first pick of basically any.
This isn't five with Will Campbell out there or something like that, you know what I mean?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Now, I mean, I think in that case, you know, the Jaguars actually have some good leverage in terms of demands. You know, I mean, it's, you know, if anybody that needs to move up for not a quarterback, the Jaguars are going to have one of the best spots for that.
And if Hunter's still there and someone calls you, you know, that's what they're coming up for.
Yeah, absolutely.
They're not, again, you know,
I mean, in that situation, you might be able to, you know, really secure maybe even third round pick, fourth round pick on top of that.
We're going to need a two. We talked about it.
I mean, if the Jaguars could pull that off, but it would have to be a massive jump. It'd have to be like a team trying to go from like 20 to five or something like that for a two to hit the table. But I mean, shoot, you know, if somebody in the 13, 14 spot says, we'll give you a third, fourth, six, that's pretty tough to turn down. I mean,
that's capital.
That's a ton of capital. And especially like, you know, we've said like Gladstone might really be about, you know, okay, I'd rather just kind of shotgun spread. I've got a lot of different guys I like in these mid rounds. Yeah. I want to go see how many of them I can get.
It's been called a meat and potatoes draft this time, which kind of speaks to not the subpar pool of talent, but, you know,
what's out there this year.
You're going to have a lot of the same guys from about the late first round through probably the third round in this draft. Yeah. So value aplenty. And I guess it also speaks to NIL and college football too. Guys just aren't a lot of those picks that you would have maybe rounds 4 through 7 staying around playing college football. I don't really blame them. Money's pretty good.
Yeah. I mean, shoot, it's one of those where players are, you know, the long-term effect of it, we're still not, you know, we're not even far enough into the future to see. But in terms of how it affects development, how it affects, you know, what guys are looking like when they do finally hit the NFL, it's definitely, you know, a major talking point. Especially also with, you know, I think we've already seen one of the immediate changes that we've already seen is the disparity in how NFL teams are judging guys. I think it's grown. You know, I think over the course of like the 80s and 90s into the 2000s and early 2010s, teams kind of were able to hone in and a lot of, you know, draft grades were growing similar. Whereas, you know, a long time ago, you would see guys being drafted. You're like, wait, I had him as a third round guy. And then, you know, another team has him as a first round. I think we're going to start seeing that more again, the disparity, and some teams are going to be really high on guys and vice versa. And, you know, the concept of reaching or stealing, I don't know if that's going to be quite as prevalent as it maybe was a decade ago. But, you know, we're a month away or so, and change from the 2025 NFL draft. And what's even crazier is, I mean, 2 weeks from the NFL free agency window opening. I know. It's so right much. Upon us. This next so month much. Is going to be insane.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Evan, always a lot of fun here on the channel. Yeah. No Sleep Till here on Ryer on YouTube again. I'm at Party Girl Avondale in Duval on the west side, if you know. And best chicken salad in the world right here at Party Girl. World champion.
Got to get y'all on one of those Food Network competitions. Yeah.
Chicken salad champs.
Yeah,
right here.
That's they need programming. They need programming. Y'all got to sell it.
We're like Tim Aquinas Country Club, just without the golf course. You know, you walk in here, it's like the tea hut. You're going to get the best chicken salad. You're going to get the pimento cheese. It's kind of like Augusta National. You know, our Amen Corner is our chicken salad, our pimento cheese, and our banana pudding. That's our Amen Corner here.
So. That's a pretty damn good Amen Corner, if you ask me.
Well, man, it's a lot of fun. And we'll hook up next week. and start thinking about free agency and more draft stuff. Pro days are going to be coming up now as that process gets underway. No shortage of topics in Roger Goodell's little league he's got going here, F.
No, it's it is an exciting time. You know, we're weary because we're Jaguars fans and we have to be, but this is exciting. You know, new, fresh organizational setup, a lot of potential,
yes.
a lot of possible paths. So.
Hope. We're hopeful.
Which, All right. It's we haven't had that in a year or two, so we'll take it where we can get it.
Take it where we can get it. And with that, for Evan Ryer, I'm Travis Ryer. Thanks again for joining us right here on No Sleep Teal. If you haven't subscribed to Ryer on YouTube, go ahead and hit that subscribe button right now. Hit the notification bell. That way you're alerted to all of our content as it drops here on the channel. And if you would give us a like, a thumbs up, we would appreciate that as well. For Ev, I'm Trav. Thanks again. Till next time. So long, everybody.